Shalom, shalom, everybody. And that is the sound of the Restoration Hour. Welcome, welcome. I hope that everyone is well blessed. Shalom to all of you. So good to see you again, each and every single one of you. And for those who are joining you, you know, have missed being here, welcome, welcome. Good to see you. I hope that you've had a wonderful day and weekend and Shabbat. And I just feel these days as though Shabbat isn't long enough. I kind of feel like we should have a 48-hour Shabbat. Everyone in favor say aye, and we will, you know, have that. You know, it's so awesome just to have Shabbat, because it's just such a time of refreshing. And but I think that sometimes in certain seasons in life, you go through so many things, and maybe you know, dealing with so many things, and life gets a bit tough, and you're a bit weary, and kind of find like, okay, Yahweh, you know, give us more Shabbat. You know, I can't wait for the day when it will always be Shabbat. Isn't that right, Yosef? How are you? I know that this Shabbat was good, but also was your dad's funeral, of his passing. And I think that, you know, just the anticipation of that as well was quite intense. You know, he passed away a month ago, so anticipating this memorial time coming. But it was also actually quite blessed to just hear the huge legacy and impact that he left behind. And so, yeah, what we could definitely do with another Shabbat this week.
So to all of you, as Leah says, welcome, and I hope that you will enjoy this time with us and that you have been blessed over the last couple of weeks, as I really feel that the messages that the Father's been laying in our hearts has been relevant and so important. It seems like my microphone is not working, so please let us know if my mic is off.
If Yosef's mic is off, please let us know. My microphone seems to be working okay. But maybe it's because I'm going to be doing the restoration on my own this evening. Please let us know on the chat if everything's going okay, because we can see that there's some microphone issues on our screen. But it could just be our screen that's saying it. So please let us know. Okay, sound problems with Yosef.
Is it better now?
Yosef is very, very soft.
Is the sound up and on now?
Please tell us if he is better. Yes, he sounds very far away.
Okay, I think we've corrected it now. We had two mics running through one port, so we are on and everything seems to be good. So like Aaliyah said, it's good to be on the Restoration Hour with you. This weekend was blessed. I pray that over the last couple of weeks, as you've been with us, that all the messages that we've been sharing from the Father, all the things that we've been speaking about has really, really blessed you. I know that this evening is one of those times again where we get excited about the message. I feel that we should always be excited about the word of Yahweh, for there's always something new to discover, something new to dig into, and something new to refresh our spirits. And like Aaliyah said, the world that we live in is a crazy place. There's so much that's going on that sometimes it feels like Shabbat needs to be the entire weekend, or that we need to just take a break and step away. So this evening, I pray that for this hour, that it will be your time where you can step away, where you can have a break, where you can really hear from the Father, and where His Spirit, His Ruach, can really just minister to your heart, and that you can leave refreshed, and that the burdens of life, the burdens of this world, can be lifted off your shoulders, and where you can really just be refreshed, renewed, and restored, and also have a new perspective and a fresh hope for the days that lie ahead. So let's pray, and then let's get into this evening. Father, we want to thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. We want to thank you, Father, that you are our King and our Daddy, and Father, that we can run to you, Father, that we can come to you, Father, with all kinds of questions, and Father, that your arm is not too short, Father, and that your ear is not deaf, and Father, that you love us. We want to pray this evening, Father, that as we fellowship around your word, Father, that you will really minister into the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that we will leave this evening, Father, changed and renewed and restored. Father, that the burdens will be lifted from us. But more importantly, Father, that we will be people of your presence. People, Father, that stick ourselves, Father, so close to you that we are one with you, Father, in everything that we do. That your presence, Father, will be in our lives. That we will fight the good fight, Father, of faith. And Father, that we will be known, Father, as people that carry your presence in this generation. We thank you. We give you all the glory. Glory and all the honor in Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, at this time, a lot of people have been asking a lot of questions. Now, let's speak so openly, because that's what the Restoration Hour is about. It's about this conversation. A lot of people have been saying, you know, we see basically this war, rumors of war, and possibly war. And we see these realities unfolding before us. And with these rumors of war and the kind of thought of there might be a war and, you know, this whole uncertainty of it, we also see, you know, all these reports of, well, if there is war, there'll be shortages of food. And if there's shortages of food, there'll be shortages of petrol, gas, there'll be this. We've seen all these rumors and we've seen all these things, and people are asking a lot of questions and are saying, well, you know, is this the end? Is this Gog and Magog? Is it, you know, this Third World War? There's a lot of those questions that's going around. And, you know, one of the things that we realize that maybe for some of us, we actually don't concern ourselves with these things. We go, you know what? I'm on a need to know basis. If Yahweh wants me to know, then I will know, because the media makes hypes about a lot of things. And most of the time what they say isn't even true. So maybe, you know, there is a bit of rumors and we do hear these things, but whatever Yahweh wants me to know, I will know that. And I think sometimes that is the safest place to be. What should we be doing while we're waiting? How should we be living? And I think that that's the ultimate question, Yosef. It's not about always, is this the signs of the times? Is this Armageddon? Matthew 24 says, we will hear what? Rumors of wars, and we will see wars. There will be shortage of food. You know, there will be famine in the land. But you know what? Lift up your head. Your salvation is drawing near. You know, this continual encouragement is from Yeshua saying, these things will be. But we should not then negatively see these things. We should then see these things in a positive light of saying, well, Yeshua said they'll happen. Yeshua said there will be these rumors of wars, and he said there will be war. So we can guarantee it. He said there will be famine. And yes, maybe we won't get bread on the shelves, but then we've got to find something else to eat. Maybe we should always then look at it and say, it can't become a heavy thing for us. We can't get fearful, and we can't live in that space of, you know, running back and forward. Yeshua said it will happen. Praise him. It's happening, which means his word is true. So how can I adapt to live as he wants me to live in this time? And the big question we're going to ask tonight, the big question we're going to answer tonight is, how should I be living in these days? How should I be living today, this week, tomorrow? And what is it that Yahweh is going to do in my life during this time while I'm waiting for Messiah Yeshua to return?
You know, Leah, that question of, and what are you doing while you're waiting? You know, there's something very interesting too that Yeshua says continually in that passage. I think he says it maybe three or four times to his disciples while he's talking. He says, do not be deceived. He says to them, you know, these things are going to happen, but don't be deceived. Don't listen to, you know, to the information wars. Don't listen to, you know, the things that are going on around that are just, you know, propaganda and pushing agendas. But be a discerning person, a person that discerns through my spirit. And do not be deceived. Don't be deceived by the things that you see and hear, because they will happen and they need to happen in order for my kingdom to be established and for me to return. These things need to take place. But you, he says to his disciples, you know these things beforehand. And that's the great thing about Yahweh's word, that he's given us his Ruach and that he has said to us, you know what, these things I will do, but I will tell them to my prophets, and I will tell them to those who are filled with my spirit. I'll tell them to my people first, and then you won't be deceived. So it's important for us to be in tune, in a sense, to know the scriptures, to understand what the scriptures say, but at the same time, to know, you know, I want to say something just before we carry on. You know, yesterday, like you said, was my father's funeral. And one thing that the pastor that was doing the funeral said about my dad that really struck a chord with me is that he was content whether he was going to be healed from his cancer. If the father willed it for him to be healed, he was content with that. But if he was going to die, he was also content with the fact that he was going to go and be with the father. And as the pastor said, he said, it's not often that you get to be with somebody that has made this understanding or made peace with, you know, yes, 100% I have faith that the Father can heal me, and, you know, 100% if I die, then it's okay because I've done what I needed to do. And that's what the Father is saying to us this evening. If you had to die tomorrow, would you be content with the fact that you have done everything that he has wanted you to do? Have you completed the race? Have you run with endurance? Have you discerned the times and done in the spirit of Yahweh what is required of you? Or have you fretted and become so worried and so distracted by all this propaganda and all these lies that it has caused you to actually stop doing the work of the kingdom of Yahweh?
And I think that once you feel that contentment, you know, about your own mortality and about your own death, which is very scary. Let's think about it and let's be real. You know, anybody who thinks about death for a while gets a little bit fearful. And it's more fearful of the unknown. I don't think, you know, as believers, people are necessarily afraid of the death aspect of it or being with Messiah Yeshua or not. It's more what happens when I die? You know, there's all those theological questions that none of us actually have true, real answers to. We think we do because we read the scriptures, but, you know, there's a lot of books that have been written of people that have died and seen Yeshua and those kind of things. But ultimately, it's that just that fear of the unknown. Do I pass through something? Is there an angel in the room? Does Yeshua come and fetch me? Do I go to sleep? Am I awake? Do I go to heaven? Where do I go? There's all those, you know, questions. But I think that once a person has that deep shalom within their hearts, that if they're facing their own death, to say, actually, I have such a deep shalom. I feel like I've done everything that I've needed to do in my life. That's when you know that... No, maybe you have fulfilled your task. Mm-hmm. When you have that sense of, well, actually, I don't feel like I fulfilled my purpose. It's probably because when you're in Messiah Yeshua, you're living with His Spirit, and your Spirit knows that you still have a plan and there's still a purpose for you. And we can be encouraged in that. And I do think it's so beautiful to consider how much, you know, your father lived that way. Like, yeah, I could totally be healed, but, you know, if it's the Father's will, I'll also not. And then I will pass away. And that's a beautiful sight to behold faith, you know, to behold faith like that. And one of the things, you know, that the Father really wants us to share about this evening, I believe, is there's a word for each and every single one of you. And, you know, the Father began to minister to our hearts very early on in the week already about what we needed to share this evening on the Restoration Hour. And He really... you know, doesn't do that early sharing very often. He likes to catch us on the 11th hour and tell us exactly what to say. But this week was so specific of saying, I want you to tell this to my people because this is a word and I'm coming for each and every single one of them, but in a good way, not coming in a bad way, coming in a good way. No one's going to die. I promise you it's going to be okay. So you know what? We want to share with you today a story, and I want to take you into the story and tell it to you. And it's a story that you kind of know, but for those of you who know me well enough and have listened to my teachings well enough will know that I like to tell stories. And I want to share with you 1 Chronicles 13, kind of in a story format. And really, it was about David. Now, David is this king. He's in Jerusalem, very, very successful. And, you know, just enjoying his life there. He's, you know, got his lovely palace he's got going, and he's just chilling there. And then he realizes something that's very, very important, and that was always important to David, was that the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh's presence was not in Jerusalem. And this really bothered David, because David knew that he wanted the Ark of the Covenant with the people. But he didn't just want the Ark of the Covenant because it was the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted to share Yahweh's presence with people. He wanted the people of Yahweh, who were called by the Father's name, to be beholding Yahweh every day. That's why, and we've said it so many times, when he eventually got the Ark back, and I'm jumping tiny little bit ahead just to make a point, when he eventually got the Ark back, he put it in that tent that was open on every single side. Come on, the tabernacle in the wilderness didn't look like that. The Ark of the Covenant was hidden from people's sight. Think about it, in the wilderness, you know, through the Exodus story, normal people didn't see the Ark. It was the high priest once a year that saw the Ark of the Covenant. Once it was in the Holy of Holies, it was in. They saw it going in. They didn't see it. You know, once, you know, they traveled around in the wilderness, they had to put a covering over it so that people, normal everyday people like you and I, wouldn't be looking at it. And so David didn't want that. David wanted the Ark there in Jerusalem for Yahweh's presence. And he had a tent over it, but it was open on all sides. That's what the Bible says. So that everybody could see. So that everyone could come and worship. And then he put what? The Levites there, the singers there, cymbals, harps. It says, you know, intense worship 24/7. And then he wrote the songs that they had to sing. And then he stationed them. And it was incredible, actually. But here we have this story where the Ark isn't even near Jerusalem yet. We know that David is very distressed because now he's got this on his heart. He wants the Ark with him. And it says that he consulted many officials. He consulted the generals of his army, which is super important as well. And he said, you know, if it's the will of God, let us send messages to all of Israel, to all of the priests, to all of the Levites, and let them come. And then we must stop neglecting the Ark of our God. No. During the reign of Saul, it was so neglected. The presence of Yahweh was neglected. We need to remedy the situation. We need to be focused on the presence of God. It was neglected when Saul was around. We need to be focused again on who Yahweh has revealed himself to be in our generation. And the whole assembly was super excited. They agreed with David and said, yes, come on, David, your heart is good. We know you love Yahweh. This is the right thing to do. So David then called all of Israel together. Can you imagine? It said that he called all of them from the north to the south, the east and the west. It was a whole lot of people. And then they got together and they placed the Ark of God, which we know was a bad thing, onto a cart. And they brought it from this guy's house that had it for a while. And it said that a man named Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart. We know that the Bible tells us David and all of Israel, they were celebrating before the ark. Imagine this ark is on the cart. And finally, like I said, the people of Israel are actually seeing the Ark of the Covenant. They've never actually, you know, really been looking at it that long, never been really considering it. They've just known that it's this holy vessel. It's the reveals the throne of God. You know, when he's pleased, his flame is on top of it and he's there. So now they're all seeing it. And then that oxen stumbles, you know, because they, we know it's not supposed to be on an oxen cart. We know that this was a wrong way of doing it. So the oxen stumbles and Uzzah reaches out his hand because he's quite fearful that the ark is going to fall off the cart. You know, from a human perspective, it seems quite a normal thing to do. You know, the oxen is stumbling and what are we going to do? What if Yahweh's throne falls off the cart? We need to stop it from falling. But Yahweh is so angry about Uzzah reaching out and just touching the throne of God, just dealing with the presence of Yahweh in such a, you know, crazy way that we know that Yahweh's anger struck Uzzah and Uzzah died right there and then. So this glorious like celebration just turns into a horror story. And it's kind of a day of mourning. And we know that in 1 Chronicles 13 verse 12, it says David was now afraid of God, which is quite incredible if you think about it, because David has this desire for the presence of Yahweh. And suddenly he realizes what that's going to mean. And it says that David was now afraid of God. And he asked, how can I ever bring the Ark of God back into my care? How can I ever have it with me? Because it's that realization again of what it actually really costs to have the presence of God with you. And David's sitting there, and I want us to really consider this moment, Yosef, where David wants to have the Ark of the Covenant, but he wants Yahweh's presence with him. And then he realizes, you know what? This is going to mean something more than what I imagined that it would mean. You know, I love Yahweh and I've been with him. I've seen his hand over me in victory. He's given me the victory so many times. He's led me through so many things. I've played my harp for him so many times. I've encountered him in the field when I killed Goliath, when I, you know, defeated the Jebusites and I took the fortress, and now we have Jerusalem and I am the king and I know what he is and I know who he is. And yet I'm beholding his presence and I'm suddenly realizing that I don't have what it takes within me to care and handle God's presence. And I think that moment was something actually that David had to realize. He had to realize not just that, you know, the ark was on a cart and it was the wrong way to do it, as we've spoken about, but he had to realize what happens when you fully have the presence of Yahweh. But here's the beautiful thing that happens. It says, so David did not move the ark into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. And then it says, the Ark of God remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And Yahweh blessed the household of Obed-Edom, and he blessed everything that he owned. Now, I want to draw your attention, because Obed-Edom is our focus point for today. You know, he's our absolute focus point for you today. The word that Yahweh has laid on our hearts is Obed-Edom, and it's for each and every single one of you listening today. David realizes that he can't have the ark, and maybe in some tiny way, Yosef, maybe in some tiny way, we think that, you know, David was just going, okay, we have to just leave the ark here. But maybe he was kind of afraid to bring the ark, so he was kind of testing what would happen if he left the ark in someone else's house.
That's right.
I'm just going to leave it in this guy's house. And if this guy and all of his family die, then I'm definitely not bringing this thing to Jerusalem. But though David says, how can I care for the ark? It was because David was not supposed to care for the ark. Mm. It was because Obed-Edom was the kind of person who could care for the ark.
That's right.
And I want to pause and just say that a day of trouble, this was a day of trouble. Think about it. Everything had gone wrong. Someone had died. People were now scared. David was afraid. The day of trouble for David was the day of rejoicing for Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom is going about his day. Think about it. He's probably just, you know, going about his day. They left the ark by Obed-Edom's house because that's, you know, a point at which they had reached. They weren't now going to go another 20 kilometers and drop it off somewhere there. They wanted to get rid of this thing. Obed-Edom's house was, you know, kind of very close by. And they were just like, Obed-Edom, he was a Levite. He was a priest. And I think that that's key. He was so, so committed to Yahweh in his heart. He was a priest. In other words, he was a holy human being. He had to be sanctified. He had to be set apart because he was a Levite and he was called to be that. And so Obed-Edom is going about his day. Think about it. That morning when all of Israel got up, the Ark of the Covenant was going to Jerusalem to David's tent. Forget it. Everything has changed. Obed-Edom is going about his day and suddenly the Ark of the Covenant is coming to you. The Ark of the Covenant is coming to your house. And guess what? It's not about the Ark of the Covenant. Yahweh is coming to your house today. Yahweh is going to live with you for the next 3 months. You and your family are going to have to entertain the presence of God. David the king, who everyone looks up to as the mighty man of Yahweh, the man after, you know, God's own heart, this shepherd that Yahweh took from the field, elevated him to be king. He's not the one Yahweh has chosen to leave his presence with. It is Obed-Edom, this servant, because his name actually means servant of people, servant of humans, servant of man. And he was a Levite and he was of the town of Gath. Gath was actually had been a Philistine, in Philistine territory. And, you know, Obed-Edom's going about his day and suddenly God knocks on his door and is like, hey, I'm coming to stay with you for the next 3 months. Think about that moment. And I'm so moved to consider that that is how Yahweh is with us. We can be in a waiting period where we sit and we wait for the Father to move, or we sit and we're waiting for even the breakthrough, or we sit and we're waiting and we're going, you know, Yahweh, I've been doing this thing for a while and it's just not bearing fruit. Like, I really don't know what you want me to do and I'm getting weary and this is hard for me. And you know what? Everything can change in a moment. Everything can change in an hour. But sometimes, you know what? It's not that it's just based on one thing. It's based on the fact that Yahweh looks at our hearts. I believe that Yahweh knew what was going to happen that whole time, which he obviously knew. And Obed-Edom was the one who he wanted his presence to be with for that time. And there was a reason why he wanted it to be so. But we also know that then, I want to say this before I give to you, Yosef, that what matters is Yahweh knocked on the door, so to say, of Obed-Edom's house. And they knocked on the door, you know, and they said like, hey, Obed-Edom, the Ark of the Covenant needs to stay by you now because this guy died outside and we don't want to take it with us anymore. What matters in that moment was Obed-Edom's response. Think about it. He kind of started, I believe he started moving things around his house. He had to, because he probably didn't have a place set up for the ark. He didn't expect it to be there. Mm-hmm. He didn't expect Yahweh's presence and his glory and his, you know, self to now suddenly come to his house. But Obed-Edom wasn't like going to close the door and say, you just wait outside, or no, I don't want God's presence here because a guy died outside and I don't think this is a good idea. His response was beautiful and it was servant-hearted and it was humble and it was righteous and it was all the things that we should be and hope to be in our lives. And he makes a space in his home. He moves his goods. Maybe he even erected a little tent somewhere, or he did something. He did something that could accommodate the ark. And he moved every single thing that he owned to accommodate that ark. His response was everything. And Yosef, that is what we need to ask ourselves. When Yahweh's presence comes into a place, when Yahweh's presence is revealed to us, if we're in a meeting and his presence comes, what is our response? What is our response in that moment? You know, so many times you and I have been in meetings where Yahweh's presence comes in. The question is, how do people respond? A lot of times, people don't even know Yahweh's there. And the other time is that the response isn't very good.
You know, Leah, this guy's life, Obed Edom, is one of those, I wouldn't say mystery stories in the Bible, but it's a very hidden story that you have to actually go and search out. And if you follow his life, which we'll look at as we go on this evening, and you see the life that he lives and the place that Yahweh takes him from where he was to where he goes, is actually something that really speaks significantly about how Yahweh blesses people. And it's not always like a blessing of, okay, now I've got a new house or a new car. It's this blessing that he becomes a person of the presence that he recognized. And he recognized the presence of Yahweh in such a way that when it came to his house, like you're saying, he never turned it away. He must have thought maybe in his mind, well, gosh, somebody just died. So, you know, I need to quickly remember everything that I've ever read in the Torah of Yahweh. But, I'm putting it out as that. But the truth of the matter is that he understood and he recognized the presence of Yahweh. And not only the presence of Yahweh, but he recognized the fact that this Ark of the Testament of Yahweh is coming into his house, and it was a holy vessel. It was a vessel of holiness, righteousness. It was the vessel of Yahweh's presence, and he therefore had to treat it in that way. He knew that if he touched it, he would die, but he also knew that he couldn't be an unholy person or an unrighteous person in the presence. And you know, the scriptures tell us that Obed-Edom, it tells us that there in that story, it says, and David left the Ark of the Testament of Yahweh at Obed-Edom's house. And then it goes on and it says something significant. It says, and Obed-Edom and his entire household, that's actually what it says, was blessed. And what's interesting is that his entire household is, in our mind, we think, oh, okay, so it's Obed-Edom, his wife, maybe, you know, his chickens, and maybe he had a daughter and a son. But the actual truth is that Obed-Edom had a pretty big family. And the Bible says that Obed-Edom's entire family was blessed. And if you follow the story of Obed-Edom's life and you see where he goes, he comes to a point, and this is what's so significant about it. He realizes that just like David had this desire that was placed in his heart that he wanted, you know, the presence of Yahweh for the people. So he pursued that with all that he did, but he pursued it in the wrong manner. He pursued it in a way of haste, in thinking that, you know, I need to get it now. So the quicker I get it, without thinking of the protocol and the way that Yahweh desires. We cannot get the presence of Yahweh in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step way. Yahweh's presence is something that costs us something. And that's what David came to a point where he realized that this is going to cost me something. So Obed-Edom is with this ark and he's been blessed. And now David comes, as we read a little bit later, he comes to fetch this ark as the story goes on. But what's interesting is, nothing in the story tells us what actually happened with Obed-Edom. It doesn't say there that Obed-Edom leaves with him. It doesn't say that, you know, his family. It doesn't tell us. We have to go and literally read between the lines to actually see what happens to Obed-Edom. And the scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles, it tells us a little bit later that Obed-Edom and his brothers and his, I mean, not his brothers, his sons and their children, all of these families, 68 of them were blessed. And that they actually, when you read the scriptures, we find Obed-Edom is appointed as a gatekeeper at the very place that David places the ark. And not only him, but him and all 62 of Obed-Edom's sons. And the scriptures tell us that they were valiant men, people of honor and of great respect. But you know, that word that it actually uses is a word that you've used in one of your teachings. It says that the Hebrew word for the English able, it says actually in the English that they were able people or valiant people, valiant men. And that same word is the Hebrew word H2428, which is that word chayil. It's that same word, chayil, which means probably a force, whether of men, it means, or other resources of army, wealth, or virtue, valor, strength, able. They were like these people who were filled with Yahweh's valor. Yahweh's virtuous character was found within them. And that's why they were able to stand in Yahweh's presence. So wherever the ark goes, if you follow the story, Obed-Edom is there. Because I think, and I really do believe this, that he realized what happened in his house and how his children, how his wife, how everybody was so blessed, and how his household and his children and everything was was abundantly blessed. So he realized, you know what, if this ark's going to leave my house, then I want to go where this presence is, where the blessing, where the power, where the closeness, this unity is. So he goes, and David appoints him to be a gatekeeper. And you know, there's that psalm that David writes, and it says, you know, it's better to be, you know, in the house of Yahweh, but it says I'll rather be a gatekeeper if I can't be anything else. And you know, a gatekeeper was the last line of defense before you got to that place. They had a very, very significant role to play. And Pinchas, who takes the spear and drives it right through, you know, his countrymen and takes Yahweh's wrath away from the people, he was actually the first gatekeeper found in the scriptures. And it's his lineage, the lineage of Pinchas and his descendants all the way down that become the gatekeepers in Yahweh's temple, the sons of Zadok. And as we go on and as we read, these people were called to protect the presence of Yahweh. But then as the priests changed and as they became more corrupt and as they got more and more, you know, infected with the things that were going on around them, they actually literally allowed foreigners to come into the temple and they defiled Yahweh's temple. And it was only the sons of Zadok that remained faithful to Yahweh and they kept his covenant, and they were the ones that we see in Ezekiel 44 with this blessing. So the story of Obed-Edom is one that you have to understand, that this guy has come to a point in his life where he's realized, if I don't move when this ark goes, if I don't leave, then I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss the blessings of Yahweh. I'm going to miss the presence of Yahweh. I need to move. I need to go. And he went. Mm-hmm. And he found himself again, where? Right there by the very door of the tabernacle.
Mm. And Yosef, I fully believe that the blessing that Obed-Edom, you know, received, that I believe that there were physical blessings he received in his house. But I believe that based on when you look at him, it's found in 1 Chronicles 26. There you see the outline of his family. It says him and his sons and their brothers and all of these men of his home. You know what? I am so also moved by this, because he was the one that Yahweh chose to leave his presence with. And through his righteousness and his good heartedness, his whole family became people who stood God in the presence of Yahweh for quite a few generations. And I believe that the blessing that Obed-Edom saw was not just that, you know, maybe he had a good harvest or maybe his wife was always happy, but it was the blessing. Yahweh's presence was the blessing, and he wanted to be by the presence. Sometimes people do pursue Yahweh just for what they can get, and I don't believe that Obed-Edom was that person at all. That was a very hard task. Being a gatekeeper meant that you had to kill someone on sight at any moment. You had to be ready to kill in order to protect. And you know, we've lost that sanctity today, Yosef, when we are in our congregations. We've lost the sanctity, you know. I would say the modern day church has no idea how to do this. And I would go so far as to say the Messianics only have a slight idea how to do this. But I will go so even further to say that there are many people that do know how to do this, and that we ourselves have been in congregations where this takes place. You know, you cannot allow defilement to come in. And people get upset when you are a gatekeeper because it's not an easy job. And even for Obed-Edom and his family, I don't believe it was an easy job, because people don't like you. You know, you in our modern world today, you're calling out sin, you're protecting truth, you're protecting the presence of Yahweh, you're calling out people in the congregation. The person that you might call out might be married to someone else that's sitting in the congregation, and their wife and or husband is going to get upset with you, or could be their best friend there, or could be, you know, whomever. And then you have to do this. And it's hard. And anyone that's on the restoration hour with us this evening knows what, and has been at some of the camps where we've all fellowshiped together, you will know what we're talking about today, because we've all witnessed it together. This reality of Obed-Edom's life is a pursuit of presence. And the pursuit of Yahweh's presence was the blessing. But he also knew how to entertain it. Mm-hmm. When Yahweh knocked on his door and said, I'm coming for you today. You know, and I think that that's the question that we need to ask ourselves before we go to the song. That Yahweh wants to knock on our doors today, and how are we ready to respond to that?
Amen. You know, before we go to that song, Leah, it's interesting to see that his life, he was not just a gatekeeper. The scriptures say that he had different roles as he fulfilled the roles that Yahweh had blessed him with. And one was in 1 Chronicles 26:8, it says that he was a gatekeeper, but he was also a Levitical musician. Mm. So he played music. So he was blessed to be able to play music while he was standing and while he was serving. And the other one is that he was a guardian of the sacred vessels. It tells us that in 2 Chronicles 25:24. So he had the ability to be where Yahweh's sacred vessels were, and he actually was able to guard those vessels. And like you said, the life of a gatekeeper was to protect all those things. And if somebody contaminated came in, they would draw their swords and they would kill that person. And that was the understanding that people had. Nothing unholy could come into the presence of Yahweh. And today we need to come back to that point where we don't go around killing people, no, but we have to come to a point where we say, you know what, we need to kill the sin, we need to kill whatever it is that is contaminating the body of Messiah Yeshua if we are to have the very presence of Yahweh. And people have this wrong. People think, you know, David's desire was to bring the Ark of the Covenant back for the entire house of Israel, for both houses, but it was so that everybody could experience the presence of Yahweh. But more importantly, today we need to come to a point where we say to ourselves, you know, the contamination is causing the full body of Yahweh to be contaminated. And if we contaminate it, we are not going to be a true light to the nations. We are not going to be a true representation of the power of the Elohim that we serve. And if we are not going to do that and have His presence, how is this world that we are living in, that is so dark, so defiled, so messed up, ever really going to know who this Elohim is that we serve? Only through His presence. And that presence is the presence that we carry with us. One person can only do so much in this generation, but when the entire body of Messiah Yeshua decides that we are going to put the defilement out and allow the full presence of Yahweh to be seen, that's when the world is going to turn an eye and say, hey, you know what, this Elohim that they serve is the true Elohim of Yahweh. He is the true, the one and only King. He is the one and only that can save us. And they will have to consider their ways, and they will have to see, because the presence of Yahweh will reveal the sins among people. And it won't just be one or two people, it's going to be His body. And it tells us in Ephesians that through the very assembly of Yahweh, not, doesn't say through the very people of Yahweh, it says through the very assembly, the Kahal, the entire body of Messiah Yeshua, when we are united and have His presence like David. And the second time when he goes to get that ark, what does he do? He goes and consults with the Levites first, which he didn't do the first time. He consults with the Levites and he asks them, how is it to be done? And then he realizes that the only way that the ark can be carried is not on a makeshift cart, but on the very shoulders of the Levites who will carry it. And if we do that, Aaliyah, in this generation, then the people will know and people will see and we will be blessed.
Mm. We're going to go to our final song. How's me? We're going to go to our final song. You know, it's because this is around by the time when we normally go to our final song. Well, you know what? We're going to go to our first song, because we are loving being with you this evening. And Yahweh's word is so alive and it's so exciting. This is our first song. Enjoy. It's called Heart of the Father. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you when we get back.
I've never known a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. And I've tasted, I've seen, and nothing comes close. I've never known a love like yours. Jesus, your name is power. It's breath and living water. I've never felt God, we sing praise. We sing.
Absolutely love that song, Heart of the Father by Ryan Ellis. It's so good to be with you on the Restoration Hour. Now, I want to end off with sharing a scripture in Exodus with you that Abba Father has also really stirred on my heart today. And you know, this scripture was found in the Torah reading, which we did yesterday. And it was found, you know, the story in Exodus, which is actually quite difficult to sometimes see. It's Exodus 32 shows us that, you know, Moses goes up the mountain to go and hear from Yahweh, receive the commandments from Yahweh. And we know that Moses was gone for quite a while. And we know the story is that while he was gone, that the people just got weary of waiting, weary of waiting for Moses to return. Even though they saw the cloud, think about it, they saw the cloud on the mountain because it said that the cloud covered the mountain and Moses was inside that cloud. You know, Joshua hadn't returned and Joshua was with Moses, even though he was halfway down the mountain. They could see that Yahweh was communicating there and his presence was there and he was doing something. But they lacked this ability to wait for what was coming. And so they, you know, inspire the high priest to build them this golden calf. And they get involved in a terrible, terrible situation. And they are just doing all these horrible things. And the thing about this is that, you know, when they built the golden calf, and we really need that to settle into our hearts and something we need to remember in our modern day world, that when they built this golden calf, once they erected it and put it up, they said, "Behold, look, this is Yahweh, the God that brought you out of Egypt." They called that very thing Yahweh. So you know what? Oftentimes people are misled. You know, they meet someone who says, "Oh, I'm saved," or "Oh, I know Yeshua," or "Oh, I'm this, I'm that," and quick to trust that person or quick to, you know, follow them behind them. Right. But in actual fact, you know, the golden calf's name was also Yahweh, but it didn't mean it was the true Yahweh, who was up on the mountain in the cloud revealing himself to Moses. This is what we should be looking at when we consider the current world we live in. When we consider the current world we live in, a lot of people want to know the signs of the times. What we should be asking is, how can we be an Obed Edom? What can we do with Yahweh's presence? How are we to be living so that we can be waiting, so that we don't get sucked in to things that are called Yahweh, things that are called Yeshua? It might not be so obvious as a golden calf, which hopefully neither of us or any of us would bow down to in our natural world. But there are many things that are spiritual golden calves that can easily be, you know, leading us astray. And those things are sometimes called by the Father's name. We need to know who is the Yahweh that we serve and the God of this covenant that we are in. And who is the false Messiah? That is the deception that we see in Revelation. The deception that we know is coming upon the earth and is already here. And we need to know that the way to do that is to be a person of Yahweh's presence. You know, we were saying during the song, Yosef and I, that Obed-Edom didn't have to get himself ready when the ark, you know, came to his house. He was living ready. Mm. It's not a five-step program. It's not like, how do we do this? It's so mystical. You know, it's so deep, or it's so out there. It's not. We have to live ready. And Obed-Edom lived ready. That's why Yahweh could come to his house. It wasn't that Yahweh knocked on his door and was like, okay, get yourself ready. I'm going to wait outside. When you're ready, call me. And it's like, I'm going to your house because you're ready. I want to be with you. I want to come to your place. You know, the people got so weary in Exodus of waiting. And that was just impatience. You know, just this impatience and this misunderstanding and not having a heart that was true after the Father. And not having a heart that was fully committed. And so their waiting became horrible. It became apostasy. And it became something that we don't want to be or have any part of.
And earlier you've said some words in those last sentences. And you said, one, that he was waiting and he was waiting ready. And the second one that you said was apostasy. And you know, the scriptures tell us very clearly that in the last days there will be a great falling away because people will apostatize. And apostasy is, you know, falling away from the true faith, the one true faith, and denying Yeshua and falling away from that faith because you have been deceived, because you fell into the delusion that comes upon you because Yeshua sent that delusion. And the reason why people are deluded is because they didn't have a love for the truth. And the reason why those people were so deceived, why Israel was deceived, is because the love of the truth was not yet in them. They hadn't come to the point where they realized that Yahweh was the faithful Elohim that he promised he was going to be. They hadn't got to that point yet where they had realized that he is who he says he is, that he is the God that revealed himself to Moses as the great I am. They never knew that. So today we have the same problem with so many people who say, oh, well, I know Yeshua, but they only know Yeshua. And we've said this many times. You know, to know Yeshua as your Savior is only to know one part of Yeshua. When we come to know Yeshua as our provider, as our healer, as, you know, the God that provides, heals, saves, rescues, all those things that he does, you know, the deliverer, the destroyer, the judge, when you get to know him as that, that's when we have a change of identity and a change of character. And that was what they needed to do. They had to change. They had to come to a point where they realized that, you know, idols or serving Yahweh in the manner that they thought is actually deception. And today, so many people are serving a form of Yeshua that is actually a deceptive form. And it's a deceptive Messiah. It's not the true Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that's why Yeshua says, he says very clearly, he says that because they did not love the truth and have a love for the truth, which is me, they are going to be deceived. And the delusion comes upon them because Yahweh himself sends that delusion. So Obed-Edom, he lived his life like we spoke last week about having the right garments. He had the right garments. His garments were not tattered. His garments were ready. And he lived a righteous life, which was, you know, and like you said, people today will say, oh, but what does that actually mean? And it's so difficult. No, it's not. It's a matter of making a distinction, as Yahweh has given to us, between what is holy and what is profane, and living that fine line in between it through the Spirit of Yahweh. We cannot live that fine line without Yahweh's Ruach. We will fall short. So he lived that fine line, and Yahweh was like pleased to go to his house and visit him. And that's what we started off saying this evening. If you had to die tomorrow, would Yahweh look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's okay. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to come and be with me, because you've kept yourself pure and you're not defiled. And that's so important this evening, that we understand that to entertain the presence of Yahweh is to have the garments on, to live a righteous life, to be set apart from the world, and to seek him. And when we do those things, then our garments, like we said last week, become those garments of fire, the garments that become the light, and we become that salt, and we become the light in the world. And it's not because of us, but it's because of what? The presence, that fire, that glory, the presence of Yahweh living within us, that the world gets to see. And that changes the atmosphere. And when the atmosphere changes, then the darkness flees. And when the darkness flees, people can have understanding, like you're saying, and they can see that, hey, wait a minute, this thing that I thought was Yahweh is actually an idol. Mm. This thing that I'm actually serving is an idol, because the veil is lifted from their eyes and the darkness is removed and they see clearly and they see the truth and they realize, wait a minute, I'm not actually serving Yahweh in the way that I should. I'm actually serving my own understanding, my own way, my own thoughts.
Mm. I love that you shared that, because I'm going to share a final scripture. And you know, it just wraps up this whole entire thing. I've been thinking so much about, and we often think a lot about, you know, Solomon's prayer when he prayed and asked Yahweh for wisdom. And we spoke about it on the Restoration Hour a week or two ago, to say, you know, Solomon prayed and said to Yahweh, he wasn't actually asking for wisdom, like we said, but saying, give me a spirit of discernment so that I will have wisdom and understanding to know how to lead and guide your people in order to ensure justice happens. Mm-hmm. And that was Solomon's prayer. And we focus a lot on that because people highlight it. But what we don't focus on is exactly actually what happens between Moses and Yahweh. This most beautiful moment where, you know, there's this golden calf and we know what happens. And after that, we know and we focus a lot on the fact that Moses saw Yahweh's glory and he saw Yahweh's presence, you know, a bit like Obed-Edom did, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that Yahweh puts Moses in the rock and it says that he covers Moses over with his hand and he allows his glory to pass before Moses. And it says that obviously Moses didn't see Yahweh's face, because no one can see Yahweh's face and live, but he saw his back and he saw his glory. But the reason why Yahweh revealed that glory and came to visit him with his presence was because of the prayer that Moses prayed. And you know what? We want this 5-step program sometimes on how do I get Yahweh's presence? How do I become a righteous person? Sometimes we even, a lot of people get stuck in guilt and say, well, I'll never have Yahweh's presence because I'm not a good person, or I make mistakes, or I do this, or I do that. That's not the point. The point is what Moses prayed. And I pray that this will be our prayer. And it's found in Exodus 33, verse 13. Listen to these words, Yosef. It's so powerful. It says, and this is Moses now speaking to Yahweh, and says, Yahweh, if it is true that you look favorably upon me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully, and so that I may continue to enjoy your grace. And remember that this nation, Yahweh, is your very own people. He says there, Yahweh, let me know your ways so that I may fully understand you more, so that I may fully serve you more, so that I can fully, you know what, be here. I already enjoy your grace. Mm-hmm. Moses knew he enjoyed Yahweh's grace, because it says that Yahweh didn't speak to anyone else in the history of humankind like he spoke to Moses face to face. Of course, he spoke to Yeshua. You know, Yahweh was speaking to Yeshua later on when he came, and they were living in that close connection. But before that, no one enjoyed the favor of Yahweh more than Moses did. He spoke to him face to face. The Bible says that he spoke with Moses as though Moses was his friend. But Moses still prayed, I want to understand you more, God. I want to know you more, Yahweh, because I want to understand you. Not just so that I can know about God, but that so that I can know you, so that I can serve you, and so that I can continue to enjoy your grace. You know, that should be all of our prayer. We have tasted grace, Yosef. We taste grace because Yeshua died for us and he resurrected for us and he offered us salvation. And each day we live in that grace. So why don't we pray, Father, I want to enjoy your grace more. So help me know you more. Help me understand you more, because I've already tasted grace. So help me serve you more by letting me understand you more. I believe that Yahweh wants us to pursue his heart so, so much that if we pray a prayer like that, it almost delights Yahweh so much that he jumps out of his skin. Yahweh says, seek me and you'll find me. Mm-hmm. Yahweh wants us to pursue him. And Moses pursued Yahweh. And he said to him, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you more. And sometimes we get afraid to pray that. You know, we think maybe it's rude to ask the Father, hey, reveal yourself to me, man. I want to know you. You know, sometimes we have that thing of, ooh, Yahweh's up there and I'm down here and I shouldn't, you know so much about God. Yahweh wants us to know all of him. And like you said, yes, Yahweh as judge, Yahweh as healer, Yahweh as you know, all of those things. That's revealed in the Bible. That's revealed in the Bible, right? Healer, provider, that we can read about in the Bible. You know, El Roi, who Hagar saw, was the God who sees me.
Yes, that's revealed in the Bible. But what about when we come to, you are the God of my suffering. You are the God of my sorrow. You know that, Yosef, because you've tasted sorrow and suffering in the last few months, watching your father battle cancer and pass away. And when God reveals himself in your suffering, it's a whole different taste of Yahweh that you've never experienced before. Reveal yourself to me in my suffering. You know, reveal yourself to me as the great high priest. There's a song that I love and it was ministering to me for the last while. And it says, I have a friend in the great high priest. Wow. Those words get to me every time. I have a friend in the great high priest. Imagine walking with the great high priest and saying, this is my friend. Imagine walking in ancient Israel with a high priest. He has the tunic on and the breastplate on and he has his turban on and it says, Kadosh La Yahweh. He's like holy. And I'm walking beside him and he's my buddy and he is my friend, and yet I know, you know, I need to be okay in his presence because he's still the high priest and I treat him with dignity and respect, but he is my friend and he confides in me and I confide in him. You know, the thing we miss about Yahweh is that we minister to God too. He doesn't just minister to us, but we minister to him. How do we minister to him? How we live with him is our ministry to him. How we love him and what we do with him every single day is how we minister to him. And it's not getting caught up in just ministering to people, it's being caught up in, I want to minister to you, Yahweh. Teach me to know you more fully so that I can further enjoy your grace. And because Moses prayed this prayer, Yahweh answered him. And I'm going to end with this. Yahweh said and replied to Moses and said, Moses, I will personally go with you and I will give you rest and everything will be fine for you. And Moses was like, gosh, that's a big thing. Because Moses says to him, look, Yahweh, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. So how will anyone know that you look favorably upon me, on your people, if you don't go with us? Because your presence alone sets us apart from the people of this earth.
Amen. Amen.
He says this to Yahweh, your presence alone sets us apart. And Yahweh replied to Moses and said, I will indeed do all that you have asked because I look favorably upon you. And Moses, I know you by name. Because Moses dared to say, Yahweh, I want to know you more. Because Moses dared to say, don't leave us here. Because Moses dared to say, we are set apart and we love you and we want you. Because Moses dared to pray all those prayers, Yahweh went with him and said, I'm going to show you my glory and you're going to see all that I am. And you're going to be, you know, one of the only people in the whole history of this entire world who will see me in this way. May we dare to ask Yahweh for his presence. May we dare to say, Yahweh, come to my house today. But may we also dare to say, I want to understand you more so that I can fully enjoy your grace. I don't think that we've even known the fullness of Yahweh's grace. Though we received Yeshua and we have salvation, I think that his grace is new every single day. And it's something we can't explain.
You know, Leah, I was thinking about, you know, when you first meet someone and you're young and you meet someone and you're dating them or you like them, you know, as a young person. I met you, then, you know, you have this thought in your mind and you realize that you like this person. So there's this pursuit that happens. And, you know, we always talk about the word pursuit, and the world has taken that word and the way that relationships work, and they've kind of twisted it and made it perverted, but it's not. You know, Yahweh is just like that, like a husband, and he's wanting us to pursue him. And unfortunately, what happens a lot of times with people is just the same as what happens in your relationship. You pursue the person that you like, and eventually you date them, and then you get married. And oftentimes when people get married, that pursuit or that fire that was once there, that love and that emotion and that connection that people have when they were younger tends to fizzle out. And that's the same thing that happens here, that Yahweh is trying to reveal and show to us. He's saying, I want you to pursue me like a young person will pursue their lover. That's the same way that Yahweh is saying it. He's saying that I want to be the lover of your soul, and I want you to pursue me. I don't want you to find me Like so many people say, oh, but I found him. I got salvation. You know, I asked him to come and live in my heart. And now that that's happened, now we stop pursuing him. And now it just becomes this thing of, okay, well, I'm going to live my life as someone that's saved. Yahweh doesn't want you just to remain someone that's saved. He wants you to be a pursuer of his presence so that just like Moses, he can turn around and say, hey, you know what? I know you. I know you. I can entrust you with the holy things. I can give you more of me. I can pour out my power and my presence into you so that when you actually walk around, that you can be like John and Peter and that people's lives can be changed and renewed. So that when you pray for people, it's not going to be about, you know, Aaliyah or about Yosef. It's going to be about the very fact that you carry me with you. So that when you ask in my name and you have that faith and that assurity that it will be done, that somebody will be healed. That's what was happening with the disciples. They spent time with him and they pursued him. They had to make a decision when he called to them and said, hey, you know what? Leave your boat and leave your nets and come and follow me. It was a conscious decision to pursue him and to walk with him and to spend their life with him so that they could receive what he wanted to give to them. And what did they receive? They received the power and the presence of Yahweh, the very spirit and the ruach of Yahweh. And when they went about their activities, what happened? People's lives were changed. People's lives were changed because of the very presence and the intimacy that they had. Moses is the person that he is only because of the intimate relationship that he had with Yahweh. The Bible says that when he spent time with Yahweh, his face shone, that people were scared because he literally glowed because of Yahweh's presence. How many of us can turn around and say, hey, you know what, I spend so much time with the Father, I spend enough time that the very presence, that his glory is shining on me, that the world sees the light of Yahweh in my life. That's what it's about. And we need to be people that really get to a point where we say, I am going to pursue him with all that I am. Don't stop at salvation. Don't stop at the entrance. Don't stop at just knowing about him. Does he know you? You know, we know about him, but does he know you? Yahweh knew Moses, and Moses knew Yahweh in an intimate relationship, just like with Abraham. Abraham was known by Yahweh, and he became called a friend of Yahweh, but he never stopped serving Yahweh. That's what it's about. We have to learn to serve one another, and we have to learn to serve Yahweh and Yeshua. And then by doing that, we grow from one mature stage to another mature stage till eventually we become people that reflect him in everything that we do. That's what he wants from us.
Yeah. I just don't have anything else to say. Yeah, I was visiting my home this evening. You know what? I just wanted to end off also with saying one thing that, you know, Abba Father said to me while I was sitting here is to say, you know, Yahweh in this way is available to all of us that are listening today. In this way, he is available to us. He is available to us to say, we want to know more of you. We want to entertain you. You know, and when we say that, and when we give ourselves to Yahweh like that, and when we pursue Yahweh like that, he comes in. But maybe to you, you're not an Obed-Edom yet. So Yahweh has to do some refinement in you to get you to that point. Maybe you realize you're not an Obed-Edom yet, so you want to do some refinement on yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's good too. Or maybe you are an Obed-Edom and for years you've made your life ready. And so Yahweh's going to come to you and he's going to say, here we go. And you can handle the sacred vessels and become the person that you were created to be. Maybe you've made yourself ready for so long that, you know, Yahweh's just already knocking on your door. You just have to hear that he's standing there. He's, you know, person and who he is and him as God. There's so much of him that's available to us that he wants to pour out to us. It's about us wanting that from him. So we are now going to go to our final song. And Paul and Shay Wilbur have just released a beautiful new song, and we just really had the song in our hearts for this evening. It's just perfect. It's called We Cry Holy. So enjoy. If you have a prayer request, please put it down. We'd love to pray with you after the song.
Face to face, by your blood the temple veil no longer separates. Bowing here together in the presence of the Lord, your cross destroyed. clean by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Yeshua, and Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Father, that we can pursue you, Father, and that it does come at a cost. But Father, the cost is great, and the reward, Father, is even greater. Father, living in your presence, being face to face with you. And Father, I really want to pray this evening that we will be people like Obed-Edom, Father, that live our lives ready, Father, to receive you, ready to pursue you, Father, ready to spend time with you. And Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua this evening, Father, that every single one of us, Father, will search you out in the beauty of holiness. Father, that as that song said, Father, that we will be taken in to the place of holiness, Father, through the blood of the Lamb. I pray, Father, that we will come to realize, Yahweh, that the presence of Yahweh is required, Father, is desperately needed in this generation, Father. If we want to see change, if we want to see people's lives set free, if we want to see homes and nations changed, Father, and families reunited and people delivered, Father, then we need to have your presence. As Moses said, Father, let us be set apart to you. Let us be people of your presence. Let us entertain you, Father, as David did so beautifully, Father, in the way that he did and in the way that he sought you, Father. I pray that our hearts will be set on that, Father, pursuing your presence, not because of our own glory or our own gain, but so that the glory and honor and praise can go to you in everything that we do. Father, may everything reflect you, and may it shine, Father, a light on who you are, through the lives that we live, through the things that we say, Father, and through how we interact with others. I pray, Father, that it will really draw all men unto you. I thank you this evening, Father, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father, that you love us, that you care for us, and Father, that you have given us this great gift of your presence, Father, and your Ruach, Father, so that we can live according to your ways and that we can learn the difference between the holy and the profane. I pray, Father, that we will seek, Father, every single day to live, Father, not on the line, Father, but to live in the realm of your presence, Father, not to be people that today we there, Father, where your presence is, and tomorrow we live back down in a defeated place, Father. I pray that we will learn to live in the realm of your presence continually, Father, as David did for 36 years, Father. He entertained your presence 24/7, 7 days a week. I pray, Father, that we will learn to do that, and it is possible, Father. It is possible to learn to live in your presence and to entertain you. So I pray that, Father, over each and every person, in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you all today on the Restoration Hour. Wow, what a great grace to enjoy Yahweh's presence and hear his word spoken to each of us, every single one of us, ourselves included. And you know what? We want to just wish you such a blessed week. May it be a wonderful Shavuot Tov for you, for your home, for your family. May Yahweh, you know, come to you. May he visit your home. May he come to you. May he visit the home of your heart. And may you experience his blessings. We know today, as we stand here, that anyone who says, yes, that's me, I desire all of it, that Yahweh hears that prayer, and we just bear witness to that, and we just say amen and amen. So may Yahweh bless you, may he keep you, may he make his glorious face to shine upon you. Until next week, shalom, shalom, and take care.
Shalom.
Covenant unbroken, you made it known through history. Your love will never be unfaithful. Never walk out on me, never walk out on me. I have no reason to doubt you. Who you have been, you'll always be.
everything I've seen. How could I not believe? You are a promise keeper. Your word will never fail. My heart can trust you, Jesus. I won't be overwhelmed. My eyes are gonna see miracles and victories. You are a promise keeper, and your word will never fail. You will return all that's been stolen. There's nothing that you can't redeem.
Trust you, God. I trust you've worked it all out.